All right, come on in, everybody. Welcome back. TNHoller.com is where you can find us at the TN Holler. We also have hollers hollering all across the state. Thanks to your support, we really do appreciate it. Your small dollar monthly donations keep us going. Shout out to Elisa Parker. If you're buying or selling a home in Middle Tennessee, do it through her. And if you need a lawyer, Abby Rubenfeld. And then if you need any jewelry, Afton, AJ Martin is very supportive. 10% off back to school sale going on right now. Thank you to everybody who supports us. I mean it when I say it keeps us going. It really, really does. Today we are talking to a friend of ours who, if you have been following the holler for any amount of time, you know this person. She has now just been elected, almost elected. We're not going to say elected yet. She still has to go through a general election, but it's a highly Democratic district and it's looking pretty good for Afton Bain to now be Rep Bain. Rep Bain, how are you feeling in the wake of this momentous victory of yours?
I think I was a little hazy on my election night watch party, giddy from all the adrenaline, but I think it's such a testament to our organizing movement that we've built the past few years. I was recalling with Justin in 2017 when we all came together and when Justin first announced that he was running for Congress, a lot of us were all part of this initial effort and resisting Trump, resisting the far right at the legislature. And it just feels great to be on the other side. Just a quick anecdote. Yesterday, I had a meeting with caucus chair John Ray Clemens. And as I was walking in Cordell Hull, the state troopers, I was fumbling with like my phone and my wallet. And I was trying to put it in the, and they're like, no, that's okay, Afton. You can go on it.
Isn't it an amazing feeling? I know. It's so good. You know, you being in there, like with Tennessee 3 and other people, it's going to bother all the right people. And I'm so incredibly excited about it, excited for you. I know that in the run-up to you winning, I asked you, how are you feeling? And you're like, I feel pretty good. Maybe that's a candidate telling herself what she needed to hear, but no, you were right. So it sounds like you felt pretty good going into this.
We had an all-female team fueled by female rage. So if anyone wants a recipe for success, I think that's it. We were women who've been in Tennessee politics for a long time, and we have been told, you know, today's not your day. You know, this isn't the right race. Don't do it. Wait your turn. We're professionals in this space. We're organizers. We're professional organizers. We get paid to do this work. And we came together and decided, like, this is the race we want to win. I think there are a lot of other circumstances that led to this moment. We worked our tails off, and it's a testament to us as professional organizers, as well as the support that we've created in the district. I wanted to tell you that talking to a lot of voters at the doors, they followed the holler for a very long time. And they said, oh, you're Afton from the holler. And so just to say, give credit where credit is due, I think the platform that you've built, being at the legislature and shining light on what's happening in the state capitol, people notice, and they know that I'm part of that. I'm part of that with you. I would love to see the Tennessee holler bump, how many points that got me. I think it's very real.
I appreciate you saying that. I like to believe that that's true, but also nothing we do is possible without the work being done on the ground. And, you know, when we started the holler in 2019, the focus at the time was Rep. David Byrd and the horrific abuse. And you were front and center in the fight to shine light on that. And we were there at the Capitol following you guys around, lifting up those voices, but we couldn't do it without what you were doing. You know, you've been doing this for a very long time. I'm glad to hear that maybe the holler introduced you to some people, but without the work of what you were doing and Christy Rice speaking out, we're nothing. So we always say you are the holler to everybody, and that's really true. And now we see, you know, you're in there, Justin's in there, Pearson, who was fighting his own fights in Memphis. Obviously, Gloria has now resisted all the attempts to get her out of there. And now there's some real loud, true progressive voices fighting for people on the inside. And it's a beautiful thing. And we've come a long way in just the 4 years that we've been paying attention to this. Not to take anything away from Anthony Davis. I don't know him that well. A lot of people have a lot of nice things to say about him, but let's be clear about what happened here. The Democratic establishment endorsed him. The Metro Council appointed him when they really didn't have to. Then in the middle of early voting, he was sworn in to the seat that he's running for against you. And you overcame all that. I just want to say, like, I really appreciate the race that you ran, and you deserve a lot of credit for overcoming a lot of obstacles. One of the things that excites me the most about this is who you're probably going to inspire to do this.
Well, and I want to thank the voters of House District 51. I mean, they understand what's happening in this state. They know that we need change. There are families with trans kids that said, we're considering moving out of state, but you give us hope. Our LGBTQIA community, they said that our lives are on the line. That's why we're voting for you. So they know that they have a fighter in this position in a progressive, predominantly white district that we can use our position of privilege and power to push back against the state. Wonderful sentimental moments with young women who came up to me at the polling place and said, I just cast my vote for you. You're the first person I've ever voted for in my life. We had two Gen Z women who are now going to college. One of them was in my campaign video. And on election night, they sent me a selfie and said, congrats, and said, I can't wait till we have girls club in Cordell Hall. So I think, you know, for the young women that are excited about politics, who are inspired to register to vote in a post-Roe environment, like, this is what it's about. And I promise that my office will always be open to you all.
It's really, really cool. And you're the only female Nashville rep, which is just a wild thing to think about. Tell me a little bit about this picture, which we got from the night of the election. We didn't call the race. It had already been called. But, you know, pretty quickly after that, we put this up. So it seems like this was probably right around when you were figuring out what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, the election night watch party started at 7 and early vote results came in, which we won about 7:15. And then Anthony called me around 7:30, 7:25. So it was feeling like we were going to win. But I just, the energy at the party, I mean, these were all of our people who have been at the Capitol with us, in the chambers, at all of our actions, and they were there. And this was a moment where someone said, I think the hauler just posted this, and I couldn't believe it. And for you and I, it was just a moment that I'll never forget.
It was awesome. So thrilled that this is happening. And I know you as an incorruptible, unashamed, fearless voice. And that's what we need in there. You know, it seems to me there's kind of two ways of doing this from the Democratic point of view. One is, well, let me get in there and make friends with Republicans and try to get some bills passed, I guess, and, you know, color around the edges. Or there's like, let me go in there and be an unabashed progressive voice and let people know what's going on up here and in our state. How do you look at that?
I ran on an unabashed progressive campaign platform of standing up for trans kids, standing up for reproductive access. And so I've thought about the initial conversation with Speaker Sexton. This is what I imagine I will say, TBD, but Speaker Sexton, I probably said some not nice things about you on Twitter. Now we're colleagues. We have to work together. However, I will never compromise on values of abortion access or trans kids, because that's why I was elected to serve. There are families that know that they have a fighter in the legislature that will stand up to what's going on. And I think you and I know that the Republicans are vehicles for a lot of the far right activity and agenda of greater national forces. What's just striking is that I have the entire downtown district in my House district. With this progressive wave that hit Metro elections on Thursday night, people said no to corporate handouts. People said no to the far right agenda that is penetrating every pore of our city. People said, no, we're not going to do this. And so what I'm really excited about are my other progressive candidates and now leaders that were elected, that we can say, no, Nashville doesn't want this. And this is what maybe good deals look like, or this is what a progressive agenda looks like. So I think there's ample opportunities and I can't wait.
Well, I think we're breaking news here, because you basically just told us that Speaker Sexton has not called you to congratulate you, which I think that is news that people need to hear. Yeah, absolutely. It was a progressive wave. Freddie O'Connell looks like he's in the driver's seat to become mayor of Nashville, which is a big deal. He voted against the Titans $1 billion stadium deal that was going to be built in large part with taxpayer money. Olivia Hill is now, I think, in a runoff, first trans woman to run for office in Tennessee. The only Metro Council at large candidate not to have to go to a runoff was Zulfat. Progressives really turned out. I personally think we need you up there for the special session. And, you know, I think the right thing to do would be for Anthony to step down and let you be up there to be the voice up there. I'm not going to ask you whether or not you agree with that. That's what I think. People spoke. They want you to be up there. Are you going to go up there for the special session anyway?
Well, it's funny you ask. I've already requested to be added back into our organizing chat for the special session. I think there is a need for people who care about gun control to be at the legislature. I think my role at this moment in time is to be on the outside outside supporting the organizing efforts and making sure people are accountable. I think what folks, what you and I know, having been at the legislature every session, is that the Republicans will say one thing and do the other. And so even if they are cloaking what they are doing in meaningful gun control, we know that they are trying to demonize trans or trans community members. We know that they are trying to pass really terrible legislation that would be harmful to our communities. And so for me, I think my role in the special session is to raise awareness of those, the complexity and nuance of what's being discussed and debated, and to hold those accountable, hold those in power accountable, which one day will be me.
I do think the right thing for Anthony Davis to do is to step down and let you be in that seat, let the council appoint you for the special session. That's what I think. There's a youth advocacy day next week, August 16th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The young people are fired up through all this. They've really been active and keeping the pressure on at the Capitol. It's been great to see. Tennessee Republicans are already saying they're not going to support common sense gun reform that most people do support, even Governor Lee. Then there's another event I want people to be aware of in Williamson County. Andy Ogles and Jack Johnson are going to be at the library for an event, and now there's going to be a rally outside that event. How pumped are you to get up there, be Rep Afton Maine? Do you feel like it has sunk in yet?
No, it hasn't. More people are returning my calls than they did 8 weeks ago. So in that respect, I feel pretty good. But no, it hasn't sunk in. I think being in Cordell Hull, I had a moment where I walked out and the sun was shining and I just felt like, wow, this is a new day in Tennessee politics. I think we all felt that during the Tennessee Three. I think this is the last gasp of this dying power structure. So I do have a general election September 14th. And because Republican Alice Rowley made the runoff, that we could be seeing major mobilization efforts from the Republicans, both statewide and nationally in this race. My Republican opponent, it came out recently in a Newsweek article that he abides by the Billy Graham evangelical policy of not being alone in rooms with women. One of the most progressive House districts in the state that I'm still fighting this far right anti-woman agenda, and my opponent, David Hooven. He is a nice guy, but I will say during a Donaldson Chamber event, he was standing behind me ready to speak. I go, hey, can we get a selfie? Because people don't think I can speak to Republicans. So we got a selfie. And then he turns to me and says, I just don't think there's enough stages where I can talk about the benefits of ivermectin. He's a really nice guy, but he is on the fringes. And so we do need folks to show up. A general election, September 14th, we do need folks to show up.
So don't not show up, and don't not show up for Freddie O'Connell. We still have a little bit of work to do to get them both in there. We need to make sure it's Mayor O'Connell and Rep Bane of Sexton's existence. We're very excited about that.
I want to get bumper stickers made. The Bane.
Yes. Afton, congratulations. Very proud of you. Thank you for stepping up. And we're excited to see you in there and keep hollering about what you're doing.
All right. Love you all. Thank you. Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee. To Tennessee.